Can I call you Carrie Ann Danger?
Danger is my favorite color.
I'll be Krista Whittles.
Welcome. We're going to be talking to Jerry Bello, who is a journalist, publisher, activist, and inventor.
You can read more about what Jerry writes on
mockingbirdpublishing.net.
We're here to talk about Alcor, Ghislaine Maxwell's connection to Alcor, that bitch, Jeffrey Epstein's frozen head and frozen penis, and what it all means.
And vampires. We can't forget the vampires. That's a huge point for me.
I'm going to have to disappoint you here. The blood drinking, blood transfusion thing is kind of a weird, wacky footnote.
Yes, it is.
Peter Thiel is getting young blood donations.
I think you're the one that told me that, Jerry.
Yeah, but it doesn't work.
It does in the mouse experiment.
Jerry, can you talk to us about like what Alcor is and how Jeffrey Epstein, everyone's like favorite pedophile, relates to Alcor?
Okay. Alcor is a company that's been around for a long time. You pay them $5 million to be a member. You sign over a bunch of your estate to them, a bunch. When you are about to die, they will send a team to whisk you away, not kill you, but give you a lethal overdose of barbiturates. And then this is where it's going to get really fun. Freeze you in liquid nitrogen until there's a cure, or cut your head off and freeze that in liquid nitrogen until there's a cure.
So is this like Demolition Man type of shit?
Science says no. No, 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 and no. Okay.
Do you think this is going to be like future mummies? The pyramids and mummies and shit from the past, this is going to be what they're going to find of the elite in the future?
No, because mummies will wind up being better preserved. I shut the electricity off to that, and it's over. Okay, that's one. Two. All right. What they claim to be able to do in order to freeze you is flash freeze you all the way through instantaneously.
Is that possible?
I don't think so. I mean, it might be possible if they very, 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 very suddenly submerged you in liquid helium and had liquid helium inside you at the same time. Remember, your body's generating heat throughout its volume. Freezing on the outside does not mean freezing on the inside, just the same as cooking meat. So you would have to freeze it really, 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 really fast so that the water in all the cells crystallizes not as ice. Okay. After that, you can keep them in liquid nitrogen. You're good. But that first freeze has to be perfect. If it is not, let's talk about ice. If I take a cube of ice and I put it in a glass of water, it floats. The solid water is less dense than the liquid water. Now, if I don't freeze a person fast enough and the solid water all of a sudden is less dense than liquid water, that solid water is going to take up too much space. It is going to do that inside every cell in the body.
Wouldn't we just need to drink an antifreeze component? Like the frogs have antifreeze in their body, and that's why they freeze. Yeah, there's frogs that don't freeze, dude. Like they freeze, but their cells don't do what Jerry's talking about, freeze, and then once they pop, they expand and
it right bursts. And that's the cell of a frog, not the cell of a person. We are not frogs.
Just saying, what if they've got something? They could have something.
With the amount of like the e-cigarettes that people are smoking and Fireball that people drink, there's antifreeze in Fireball. I think they might be able to figure it out.
Fireball before they right. like
interesting. You got to get okay. Let's say your antifreeze stuff is going to work.
Yeah,
kinda. Maybe. You're hoping.
If we get to you in time.
Right. Compare the volume of a frog and its surface area to the volume of a person and their surface area. Not the same. So you're going to now take a dying person while giving them a barbiturate overdose, pump them full of a chemical and get that chemical into every cell in their brain.
Who's investing in this again?
Really stupid people for about the last 30 years. Here's how Alcor, they promised to be able to deliver this. Anyway, if you thaw somebody out and they didn't do it right, which is 100% of the time, okay, all the cell walls and cell membranes in them have gone pop because ice got too big inside. And now you have water again. Water is a solvent, all right? All those proteins that are running around are now going to be dissolved in the water. It will turn you into frigging soup, essentially.
Sentient human soup?
You won't be sentient.
Gazpacho.
I mean, here's the other thing. As the water freezes, it's going to expel all the salt in it, right? Now you think, okay, salt, whatever. I have a low salt diet. There's a whole bunch of other electrolytes going on here, the ones that carry your nerve endings. You have nerve endings that are fingers towards each other, and then the little electrical impulses jump back and forth and they're carried by chemicals. Nope. That's all going to get sucked out, and then you're frozen out and released, triggering every single nerve in your body that can still function at once.
It would be very painful if you were still alive.
Not really, because to actually process the thoughts, that takes energy, which takes oxygen, which means whatever oxygen was in your frigging brain, you're going to be at a bare minimum instantly unconscious. Oh, and then you were dying of cancer and they gave you a barbiturate overdose after they turned you into soup and stimulated all your nerves.
So why are people paying $5 million to have this happen? And why did Jeffrey Epstein do it?
Yeah. Why would you pay to potentially just be Soylent Green for somebody?
Maybe that's the plan.
Oh,
no, because they're psychotic assholes.
Yes.
And frankly speaking, let's look at the kind of people that pay for this stuff. You have Ben Goertzel, Jeffrey Epstein, Natasha Vita Moore. These are people that we know have gone for it. A Major League Baseball player, whose family sued. His family sued for fraud, and they also wanted their inheritance back.
Oh, yeah, right? That's ridiculous cost.
Well, because they're holding your money, and they're holding it in trust through a nonprofit that'll pay it back to you with all the interest when we thaw you out.
So you're like, I definitely want to be a billionaire in the future still.
That's the biggest scam I have ever heard.
It's your shit, getting buried with all your money so you can wake up in the afterlife with all your shit.
Or because of interest.
Yeah, of course, bullshit. They're like, hey, by the way, there's like a 0.1 chance. I don't know what the percentages are, so I'm just kind of talking out of my ass in these percentages here. But there's like a 0.1 chance that you'll actually come back to life and we be able to cure whatever ailment that made you freeze. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we'll hold your money. But that, you know, 99.9% chance that you're going to be soup. Oh, sorry. We get your money now.
They seem well, to...
let's say their marketing materials for their product are a bit better than my Yelp review.
Well, yes.
It's like a true music video.
No, it's like a Milli Vanilli music video.
All right. So Jeffrey Epstein allegedly commits suicide in prison, but they rule a cardiac arrest. He's rushed out of the hospital with a respirator on, and then his head ends up in a jar at Alcor?
We don't know. If I had a bunch of money, which I do not, right? Mm-hmm. Mostly because I thought nobody cared. But when I say bunch of money, I mean $20,000 to $50,000 in legal fees.
Y'all buy lots of Jerry's books.
If I had $20,000, I'm not the New York Times. I don't spend $50,000 on one lawsuit for one story, right? Mm-hmm. I figured that since Jeffrey Epstein was in the Tombs, right, which is what they call the federal prison in Manhattan, I know a thing or two about the Tombs. I've had friends there. Shout out to Jeremy Hammond, recently released from federal prison. And stick a pin in that. We'll be getting back to that in a minute.
Jerry, how did Alcor get their hands on him if they did get his body?
In order for Alcor to get their hands on him, there had to be some kind of prior coordination with the fire department in New York. I went after the public records, like, is there a piece of paper in your whole headquarters building that has the word Alcor on it? Don't care which one. Doesn't matter. Anything with Alcor on it, they're going to have to coordinate. They're going to have to get there while he's coding in order for this to work. Fire department in New York told me to go kick rocks. They refused my public records request. They were like, piss off.
And that's illegal, right? To deny
public. That's illegal, but I would have to sue the hell out of them, right? Now, I might win, but I don't live in New York. I would have to move to New York and hire an attorney in New York to get those records and win. Not something I'm willing to do for a 1,500-word follow-on story that's not the big deal about Jeff Epstein, truth be told. I filed the Alcor thing under another weird Jeff Epstein thing, put it in the pile with the others, except for some of the connections that came out of that, and y'all have been provided with an article with that handy chart of connections.
Jerry, you filed that paperwork right after his death, correct?
No, I filed that paperwork the Monday after he died.
Oh, days.
Days. Not, I mean, in terms of business days, not even days. Monday morning, 9 a.m., email was on their desk. Good morning. Have a Jeffrey Epstein day over at the fire department in New York.
They're like, that's all we have.
Right. But nobody was headed in that direction. However, what we know about Epstein's death is he met with his attorney or a junior partner from his attorney's firm for about 4 hours. Nobody knows what happened in that room. He gets out. He goes back to his cell. He dead. And the cameras are off. First of all, bullshit. Okay. The cameras are not off anywhere in that building ever. On top of a hacker that just got done doing 8.5 and 10 years that I know. Are you going to tell me that we're broke on the same floor of the same prison where you were keeping El Chapo? Same floor. And the cameras are broken?
They didn't have a problem keeping the cameras on for El Chapo. I get you. I get you.
They're like, we want to know what he's doing.
I can get him to look the other way, but I've got talent. But America's got talent.
Man, those poor guards must have seen some weird shit.
And some mostly boring shit. Allegedly, Jeffrey Epstein, also his thing was that he wanted his egg-shaped cock also frozen for use in his new body when they built it. What?
Why? See, my theory is that he gets some sick sadistic pleasure from like fucking people with his weird egg-shaped cock. And they're like, this is weird. I don't like this cock. Or like, this cock is weird. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. That's my
theory. Well, I mean,
he obviously had to accept it.
Yes.
There's a dangerous liaisons quote in there, but I'm just going to leave it alone for now.
And accept my cock for what it is.
He's empowered.
Yeah, whatever. If you take Donald Trump's mutant mushroom cock and Jeffrey Epstein's egg-shaped cock, yeah, you get a Mar-a-Lago omelet. Well, I mean, let's tie in Mar-a-Lago for a minute. Remember, the woman who's actually suing Ghislaine Maxwell, where'd she come from? Who is she?
Virginia.
Yeah. Virginia, what did her dad do for a living?
He was the maintenance guy at Mar-a-Lago, and she got a job as a towel girl. Laundry.
Oh, yeah. Right after he got Employee of the Month.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Trump rewarding loyalty.
I totally caught that one there, Carrie.
All right. So, meat and mushroom cock time. Here we go.
Go for it.
I mean, the antics of Jeffrey Epstein are the antics of Jeffrey Epstein. Ghislaine Maxwell is the key. Her and her sister. And if you put them at the center of the story, then it changes your perspective on Epstein.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot more sense.
Yes. Can you walk us through this, Jer?
Okay. I believe that Jeffrey Epstein was an intelligence asset. That doesn't mean they have any loyalty to him. Assets exist to be expended. Maxwell and her sister were the operators.
Maxwell was his social access. Social access to the old European upper class.
Remember, her dad was a peer. She's got a lot of connections. Go through Jeffrey Epstein's phone book. The only thing missing are the Habsburgs. I'm serious. And, well,
they're extinct. So
no, they're not. They just don't fuck other people's children.
They've got some minor house people left, but the main line didn't make it. Okay.
Well, yeah, the main line didn't make it, but let's be honest. They only have sex with their own children.
Jeff's like, I need their number.
Literally, they were so inbred that they were closer than brother and sister genetically throughout the lines all over that whole empire.
The pedophilia thing is, was he was there to rope other people into it.
Was it for blackmail?
Yes and no. It's blackmail insurance, essentially.
Yeah.
Think of it this way. Let's talk about David Cameron, former Prime Minister of England. It comes out in the Daily Mail, a serialized thing that another lord paid to have written and paid the Daily Mail to publish. That was all the dirt that this guy had on David Cameron. And it was one aristocrat pissed off at Cameron because he didn't get a government post that he wanted. So it comes out that David Cameron, while he was in college, at a party full of 40 people, stuck his dick in a dead pig's mouth. In the Daily Mail. This is news to you because nobody cared. They're the aristocrats. We know they're like that, right? England didn't blink. Didn't bring down the government. Nobody wanted to talk about the other things that he did at Oxford that are, in my mind, sicker than a fraternity prank of, okay, somebody bought a pig and, you know, you whipped it out and did your initiation thing at the party.
Tuesday night for probably my husband when he was that age. So,
you know. Part of an Oxford drinking club called the Bullingdon Club. One of the things that they had to do was trash a pub and pay for it because that's legal in England. Another initiation thing that they had to do was in front of their boys, find a homeless person and burn a 100-pound note in front of them.
Oh, that's shitty.
That's a shitty shit.
They're mean.
Yeah, right. And this is your, okay, you can be in the ruling class now. One of us, one of us. So Jeffrey Epstein's got a private island. He's got a bunch of 13 and 14-year-old girls that are giving massages to his friends. There's cameras in the walls, and there's disappeared footage. And all of Jeffrey Epstein's problems went away. You know, when he was convicted, it was of soliciting, not of actually having sex, just trying to have sex, right?
Prostitution, which right. A lot of the parents had a problem with. They're like, my kid is under 18 and was not a prostitute.
Now, he did his jail time on weekends at the jail, and then he was on work release on his island the rest of the time. And the Palm Beach Police Athletic League's after school program got a $50,000 donation from him.
I heard that he also had that wing he was in refurbished and remodeled, and that no one could be in it while he was there.
I've seen the $50,000 thing in his expense sheet. And it's right below $50,000 given to Ghislaine Maxwell's charity.
I think we can all agree the ocean is important.
We can also all agree that people like Ghislaine Maxwell should not wear spandex on a stage.
So what's the deal with Christine?
Okay, Christine Maxwell, the older Maxwell sister, is a software genius. Okay. She wrote, and her area is big data. She wrote a program that was a search engine called Magellan. You know, it was a search engine that you could have in the early 90s until it got bought out by Excite. Then she sold her interest and started a company called Chiliad, which then did big data fusion for the FBI's counterterrorism database. At the time that she was working on the counterterrorism database, her kid sister is out pimping underage girls to weird little old men like Alan Dershowitz.
So proud.
Well, and Alan Dershowitz loves to threaten anybody with libel or slander if they say that he actually had sex with one of those girls.
It was just the tip.
It was just a massage. But Alan Dershowitz will win that trial. Because of his legal specialty. He's a Harvard law professor because he is an expert in suppressing testimony. And every time testimony gets suppressed by Alan Dershowitz, it's in a crime of violence against women. Full stop. Started with the Chappaquiddick. You can either give that, I mean, like, literally, look at the whole situation. You can either give that massage or we can have Ted Kennedy give you a ride home. That's what was going on there. Mm-hmm. And that keeps all these guys in bounds. That's what that's for. Now, if somebody had been, if Becca, for instance, your sister had a boyfriend who was convicted of crimes like that, you are not getting a security clearance necessary for you to take that contract for the FBI.
Damn it, Ariel.
The whole point of denying people security clearances is for reasons like that is because they are vulnerable to blackmail. You lose a security clearance for being in debt. You lose a security clearance for having an affair. You lose a security clearance because they don't want a foreign power to be able to have any leverage on you. That's why you couldn't get a security clearance back in the day when you were gay, and now you can, because nobody cares. What?
I said they were all gay back then anyways. They just didn't say anything.
Right, but if they knew, right, but if somebody knew, then you could be blackmailed. Anyway, that is my thesis on all my looking at Jeff Epstein. I started from the point of view of, okay, he's a millionaire weirdo connected to my local billionaire slash crime lord.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about Lex. Yeah. What? Let's talk about the boyfriend.
Les Wexner? Okay. Where to start with Les Wexner? Les Wexner belongs to the mob and the CIA. Period. I'll start with the mob. It's Les Wexner to Max Fisher to Bugsy Siegel. Do I have to go on? All right. Les Wexner started out and they had compromise on him because he was gay, running his mother's dress shop in downtown Columbus in the early 60s. They got an in with him and they used him as the bank. That was what they had on him, a way to launder money. He was good. His business prospered. Things went well. Through examining Epstein, I discovered that it is entirely probable that Les Wexner has a hand in smuggling heroin into Ohio. How deep do you want it? I mean, like, this shit needs a whiteboard.
And we need, like, a little animation of a flowchart.
I went through Epstein's phone book, and I said, okay, what do you got in Columbus? Who do you know around here? In other words, who am I going to? Whose house am I showing up with to play Uncomfortable Question Time?
In the Chewbacca slippers.
No, that's a boots job. I will actually get out the boots for that shit. You know, you might have to neutralize a century or five.
Boots or Chewbacca slippers.
Yeah, no, I don't feel very century neutralizing in Chewbacca slippers. Anyway, I noticed that for his private jet, he used an FBO, that is a fixed-based operation, called Lane Aviation at Rickenbacker International Airport. The instant I saw Rickenbacker, I was happy. I was like, because now we're in local reporters' dream world. Rickenbacker is Columbus's other international airport. It's not the main airport. It's an international airport, but it used to be an Air Force base. It's now a mostly cargo airport, and nobody's paying taxes on it, and sweetheart municipal bond-funded deal, and I'm like, oh, yeah, because, you know, I figure I'm actually going to go after a local politician on this. This will get me a little bit deeper on the Rickenbacker thing. But then I looked at, I said, okay, what's the history? Let's find out about Lane Aviation and this FBO, and I noticed that two things happened since Jeffrey Epstein's little black book became a thing. One, Lane Aviation actually went through some certifications and got their own customs agents. So they've got a customs agent that's a federal agent whose job is to check things through customs privately in their private air terminal. Okay. After that, they formed a partnership with Landmark Aviation and then sold it to them. Landmark Aviation is a CIA proprietary, full stop. They provided the logistical support for the extraordinary rendition flights, the so-called torture taxi. After they got found out by English and Irish and then eventually every European journalist, they got shut down, disassembled, put in a trusteeship, and then put back together. The trustees of Landmark Aviation were former Senator Bob Kerry, you know, the one-legged Democrat from Nebraska, who used to be a Navy SEAL in Vietnam, doing, you know, doing his part in the Phoenix assassination program in the late 60s and early 70s, until he got his leg blown off with a grenade. Yeah, there was also something that one of his former SEALs wrote about him, that he was not actually good at combat, and he needed help from two other Navy SEALs and about 12 minutes to, you know, murder a 90-year-old Vietnamese man with a knife quietly in his hut. He could assassinate everybody else in the village. That guy was a trustee. The CIA is not here anymore, but that guy was a trustee and dubbed Zach, former comptroller of the Pentagon, and James Schlesinger, former Secretary of Defense, former head of the CIA. He was Carter's Secretary of Energy, too. So that, putting it under the stewardship of those guys, made Landmark Aviation somehow not the CIA anymore.
We're definitely not the CIA.
But that's where Jeff Epstein parks his airplane when he's in Columbus.
Because he's definitely not the CIA.
Now, if I was flying in a Rickenbacker, okay, and I was flying a cargo 747, I need somewhere for it to park once I land it. There's only one FBO at Rickenbacker big enough to handle a 747, and that's the Landmark Aviation Facility. That 747, there is a 747 that at the time that I wrote the article, I haven't checked since, arrives there for Les Wexner carrying ladies' underwear direct from Hong Kong every Tuesday in the middle of the afternoon.
It's a lot of underwear.
So much underwear.
I don't know many people that wear underwear, so why do we need that much underwear?
I don't wear underwear.
Well, it gets shipped direct to all the Victoria's Secret outlets from there, okay? On a trucking company that has been cited as an asset of the Gambino and DiBartolo crime families out of New York and Pittsburgh. Like, as in, that was in federal court. They're based in New Jersey, but they handle 70% of all of L Brand's over-the-road trucking traffic. So the plane belongs to Evergreen Air Transport, which is a CIA proprietary. They bought up Southern Air Transport, which, you know, did the drug smuggling out of Vietnam, did all the smuggling into Nicaragua during the Contra thing, that guy that got shot down in 1986 and started the whole deal. Southern Air Transport, on his pilot's ID, on Nicaraguan television. Not only didn't he not take the cyanide capsule, he didn't even burn his ID, dumbass. Yeah, here's to you, Eugene Hasenfuss. Mm-hmm. Eat the cyanide capsule, moron. Anyway, what do you mean you're not about to be captured and you're just at a barbecue with your family? I said eat the cyanide capsule, you fucking spook. You've got all this and Jeffrey Epstein in the middle of it. The only way to prove that there's heroin on the airplane is to make it crash. If somebody were to take a high-powered rifle and blow a hole in the front tire and make it do a belly flop on landing and just spill a bunch of smack all over the runway, that'd do it. But I don't have that rifle. Somebody else will have to figure it out someday.
It provides cover for a lot of operations.
It keeps people in bounds. You know, you're just going to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, on Les Wexner's end, all he has to do is hire the subcontractors he's told to hire and make a profit. They bill him a fair price and everything's normal, except half that airplane is not ladies' underwear.
So we've got this fucked up web of people doing fucked up things. We've got Ghislaine Maxwell's sister and Ghislaine Maxwell in the intelligence community using their freaky friend Jeffrey as a...
It's Ghislaine.
Of course, that bitch's name is Ghislaine. So you got them and their freaky friend, Jeff, who's rich and really good at con artistry and manipulating people, being their intelligence asset. And then you've got Alcor and Peter Thiel. And then you've got like all these billionaires that are running around everywhere, like drinking blood, trying to live forever. There's a big picture that's very clear, but there's all these douchey moving parts running all over the place.
Right.
And then, yeah.
And I mean, like, some of these douchey moving parts are so douchey that, like, they could oosh their way right into the Manfred Mann's Earth Band. I mean, oosh.
I'm going to start using it.
You know, that's not the original word in the song. When Bruce Springsteen, before, you know, that miserable hack, you know, the worst thing to happen to the music industry ever. Oh, wait. Lenny Kravitz says, hold my beer.
Oh, goodness.
Talking about, yeah, talking about a little unearned privilege there.
Did Jeffrey Epstein kill himself? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. Maybe because he believed, ha, 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 I'll live forever. Right? Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. He killed himself after a four-hour meeting with his attorney. They had a lot to discuss.
I don't think he killed himself. I don't even think he's really dead. Because that Friday, the international borders where they do the facial recognitions on both sides of the water went down. So they were entering people by hand instead of using their computers. So he could have just walked right through and got on a fucking plane, and he is somewhere just chilling.
Ghislaine Maxwell's dad died from like an unfortunate boating accident.
Oh yeah. Ghislaine Maxwell's father, Lord Maxwell, was a member of the Natalie Wood and Rudolph Diesel swimming club. He fell off his yacht. While she and Jeff Epstein were on it.
He was known for peeing off that boat. Everyone knew he did it. So all I'd have to do is follow him when he was drunk. Oof.
Yeah, the Rudolph Diesel Swimming Club.
Got nibbled to death by sea turtles.
Right. Well, maybe they coated him in chocolate because chocolate is an octave of sunshine. Yeah. Now, he definitely had an involvement with the intelligence community in the past, mostly on the British and Israeli sides, and mostly related to arms smuggling. When you bring the intelligence community into anything Epstein or Wexner, because of American anti-Semitism, everybody wants to scream Mossad, 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 Israel, Mossad, Mossad, Mossad. Now, don't get me wrong. The Mossad will do anything that they decide helps Israel. But I don't think they were driving. I think it was Anglo-American intelligence. And anytime that you have somebody that investigates it because they're either an open or closet anti-Semite, they want to zero in on Israel. And they don't want to look at the fact that these people are from the British ruling class. Right? Or they'll immediately cling to the Jewishness of anybody that they can touch there. For instance, if you were to take Jeff Epstein's phone book and go to New York and go to the address listing that says Ghislaine Maxwell, apartment for models. Gee, I wonder where the girls were. Well, ask yourself the question, who owns the apartment building? And that would be a woman originally from Tenafly, New Jersey. Her name is Lynn Forrester. Well, that's her maiden name. And she was a billionaire, is a billionaire. Her husband is Lord Evelyn de Rothschild, right? Literally, Ghislaine Maxwell's landlord in the building that the models were kept in owns the frigging Economist, owns it. The first time that Prince Andy's antics got out of control, they had a meet and greet, right, to try and rehabilitate and plan press strategy that was set up by Ghislaine Maxwell. She was the fixer. Yeah, it's in my article, The Purification of the Prince.
Priest Ghislaine, like, throwing holy water on him?
No, Priestess Barbara Walters.
Oh,
and
Andrew's like, I've changed my ways.
And the church was Rupert Murdoch's Florida home, right? This is not for Epstein was a source of models. Straight up, he was there to go after, you know, the skinny butts in Victoria's Secret panties. His phone book is very biased towards the fashion world. We could talk about his phone book all we want and speculate, you know, that some names have circles. Some names have stars. Some names have circles and stars. Some don't have anything. The guy who put the circles and stars in is dead. So we have no way of knowing what means what. And so some people's names are circled and some people's names are not. For instance, Simon Le Bon from Duran Duran is in there. And so is every Jagger. All of them. All the Jaggers. But Courtney Love's name is circled. Don't know what it means, but I can't help but notice that her name is circled when other people's were not.
He's like, she gets me. She gets me.
One of these things is not like the other. One
I call Courtney Love a but I need to talk, says Jeff to himself, alone.
Well, Ghislaine is bothering me. I'll call Courtney.
Oh, speaking of Ghislaine, what's your read on the whole sitch with her arrest, testimony, all that?
I think the judge is going to do what the judge has been told to do. Okay. Remember I said let's roll back to that hacker friend of mine?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the judge in both cases, and that would be federal judge Laura Preska. She is intelligence community connected, period. As in, Jeremy Hammond was convicted of breaking into a number of things, but one of them was called this thing called strategic forecasting, Strat4 for choice, for sure.
Jeremy Hammond, for you listeners, was the friend that was in the tombs.
Right. Now, he was arrested in Chicago, but they charged him in Manhattan. They could have charged him anywhere. And normally, when you have an intelligence community case, they charge you in the Eastern District of Virginia. That's where all the good, that's where all the CIA's best judges are. You know, if they want to try a case, they try it there. However, they took this to the Southern District of Manhattan, put it in front of Laura Preska. Strat4 is a private CIA. You give them $10,000, $20,000 a year, and you receive daily, weekly, monthly briefings on stuff that are near classified or as close to classified as you can get, right? Mm-hmm. What Jeremy stole and then published through Barrett Brown was the clients list. Who's paying these guys? Strat4 was involved, was tied to Peter Thiel also, through the Team Themis subplot of that, which you can dig on in my book. That would be my Net War Diaries, Volume 1, Post-Constitutional America. But the judge's husband was a Strat4 client. His credit card information got released. Her husband was a victim in a crime that she tried. When she was asked to recuse herself, she said no, because this defendant is just going to try to recuse, quote unquote, every judge in America and just jammed him up. Okay. I'm going to put it out there. I think that she is a reliable asset and they will get the outcome that they want out of her. I think that Ghislaine Maxwell, if they can find a way to make her go away without much fanfare, she will quietly fade off into the distance. Her mission is accomplished. She's done. You know, all the recordings of all the things are always going to be there. They're not going to get any more.
Right, because no one wants to party with Ghislaine anymore.
I'm sure that somebody out there does, but...
Prince Andrew, wants to, but...
I'm sure somebody out there does. I mean, all this didn't stop her from being at Chelsea Clinton's wedding.
Man, I do love kind of how the Clintons aren't in his phone book, in Jeff's phone book, because they were probably like, nah, dude, we'll call you.
Remember, Lynn Forrester and Hillary are buds. Let's just say she was real helpful with Chelsea's wedding. And there's a picture on my website of Ghislaine Maxwell sticking her head into the aisle and smiling as Bill is walking Chelsea down the aisle.
She's all like staring at Chelsea's butt. After the picture, before the picture?
I don't know. Go pull up the website. Look at the picture. You tell me.
All right, let's see. Is Ghislaine Maxwell staring at Chelsea's butt?
I conveniently circled her head in red. I don't remember. I wasn't looking at her eyes. I was just sitting there circling her head in red for the picture and going, gotcha.
Oh, she's not staring at her butt, but it looked like she just glanced away.
Yep. Well, you know, you get what you can get.
Right.
You get what you can get. But anyway, yeah, hunting these people through the society pages. that's what's going on here is Jeffrey Epstein was the asset. If you roll back and look at my stuff on Lady Dudley, which was a party that quite a few people in the Jeff Epstein book were at, there was a party for a lord in Canada. If you had ever been in a sex scandal, you do not want to be in that room, right? And there was somebody, and that would be Lady Dudley, who was involved in the, I believe it was 1963 Porfumo affair that brought down. Carrie Ann, I see you recognized when I said Porfumo affair.
Yeah.
There was a man who, he looks like an intelligence asset to me. He had been a soldier in World War II. He was assigned to the Royal Armor Corps and then posted to Burma, that jungle where they're not using tanks, where he did a whole bunch of nothing for all of World War II, then came back and had basically a bunch of sex workers living in his house. Okay. They were go-go dancers, but that's all. I don't know where the hemline is on that one in 1963 in England.
He was in a plot to entrap a Soviet diplomat with one of his girls.
Unfortunately, at the party, an important British minister, I believe it was the defense minister, hooked up with the girl that they were supposed to be aiming at the Russian diplomat. Okay, would have been a wash, except the girl had a boyfriend who eventually, that she broke up with, but got back together with, but he pulled out a gun and shot up the other boyfriend's house, and everybody started to notice, and the government went boom. And then this guy gets a visit from two of his friends the day before his sentencing and dies of a barbiturate overdose.
And definitely didn't end up with a frozen head.
No frozen head for him, right? But he had multiple convictions of living off of the income of a prostitute, right?
Yeah, and see, all of this blackmail, the pedophilia, that's fucked up. And the stuff that happened on Epstein's watch is fucked up. But a lot of it's, we're so fucking prude, it's too easy to blackmail someone. You know, if it's like a pee tape, hell yeah, I got peed on. I don't care, whatever. Or that shit that went down where England didn't blink.
This is different. This is the government exploiting children to control its own key members.
Right.
Right? I mean, can I borrow your daughter for national security? You'll be employee of the month.
That is fucked up.
That's exploitation.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And it's not like there is some greater good to come out of this. What do we got? We got heroin smuggling and heads in jars.
Weird time traveler shit. They're like, trust us, it's for the greater good. We won't find out for like 200 years, but it's real bad back there. It's gonna be okay.
Or, and why did people go now? If you want to look at Ghislaine Maxwell and Peter Thiel and their angle with their whole freedom of the seas thing, I believe that Peter Thiel wants to create a floating city so that he can have a floating city state. So that he can, you know, have extraterritoriality.
Can you explain again how Peter Thiel ties into all of this?
Well, let's see. One, he was part of the Palantir, his security company, which has recently made its IPO, was one, straight up started with CIA money. This is not a secret. He took over the FBI's counterterrorism database from, his company took that over from Christine Maxwell. Also, if you look at the contents of some of the other stuff that Jeremy Hammond released, there was something called Team Themis, which was one company, H.B. Gary, trying to put together Palantir and another company in a data mining and spying project to spy on activists for the United States Chamber of Commerce and to get compromising material on them. And those activists included Occupy Wall Street people, and actually Glenn Greenwald. But Palantir was like, nah, sorry, not into it. In other words, the check isn't big enough, piss off. Like, straight up is what it came down to. It's like, you guys are B-League and the check isn't big enough.
Do you think Peter has an obsession with Lord of the Rings?
Peter Thiel's obsession with the Lord of the Rings because he names every company that he's starting up after something from The Lord of the Rings. You know, he's got another one called Elendil and Elendil, and then he's got Palantir, which is the seeing stone with Sauron's eyeball in it. Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, that this, was- is, this is what this man thinks of himself.
He's like, I am Frodo. I am Frodo.
No, no. He's I am Sauron.
Oh.
He's the eyeball.
Might be why he's getting all into psilocybin these days, which is shady. Maps working with Peter Thiel on like psilocybin research, that screams psyops to me. It's kind of rule number one, don't trip with douchebags or don't trip with people that are manipulative or trying to pull one over on you. That's well, like Peter Thiel.
Or think of it this way. Say I know somebody who's a Russian spy or a spy, right? Do I kill them? No. I'll just give them a bunch of LSD and a bunch of ketamine, take them to a hotel room, and have somebody comb their hair for 48 hours. What I get, I get. What I don't, I don't. And then I'll let them go.
That sounds lovely, having your like head pat for like so you 48 feel hours like tripping.
Yeah. You'll relax.
Ooh, let's go.
You'll relax and not care and talk, and some stuff will come out. They'll just record it all. Doesn't matter. They don't need no pictures of you. They don't need no nothing. In fact, now, watch. Then they just let you go. And then you got to explain to your boss where you were for 48 hours. And you don't remember.
I feel like I'd remember that. That sounds great.
Well, you know, but I mean, like, you've got a fuzzy memory because you had a head full of LSD and ketamine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for 48 hours, there's a whole missing block of time that's a blur. Kremlin want to know where the microfilm is, asswipe.
Right.
They don't have to kill
you. I don't know which dimension I left the microfilm in. I don't remember which dimension I left the microfilm in. Fucking asking me questions about where shit is when I'm on ketamine and acid. Like, that's not going to work. Right.
Krista would just tell them they were at the Hilton instead of just at a Super 8. She would suggest.
I mean, the thing is you don't account for your time in that kind of operation. Mm-hmm. They're going to think that you were flipped, and they're going to fucking kill you.
I'm so glad I can just
like down. You're going out the chimney of the KGB headquarters at Dzerzhinsky Square, because that's how you leave that intelligence agency through the chimney. Your only choice is, if you're a good intelligence agent, you're dead when they put you in the oven. If you weren't, you ain't. That's how it goes.
What's the worst outcome of this case? What is the worst outcome of the Ghislaine Maxwell case?
What's the worst case for her? What's the worst case for the general public? I guess if she's...
The worst case for the general public is it goes away. Mm-hmm. Right? The worst case for, I mean, like, are we going to bring down an intelligence agency in a 30-year operation over Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein? No, we're not.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to go stand in the corner, face the flag, and sing God Bless America until we tell you to stop. That's all that's going to happen, because foreign terrorists or something, you know.
Yeah.
They'll put a picture of 9/11 on the screen and say, and that's why we have to fuck little kids.
True.
America.
What do you think the chances of her killing herself in her cell are?
Rather low.
Think so? You don't think they'll off her?
No.
No. Why? What does she have for them to not want to off her?
Going second. If they want this to go away, they want it to go away in a way that doesn't generate more interest or more questions. Okay? Her committing suicide is a non-starter. Mm-hmm. Shanked by another inmate who shot, that's something.
That could work.
Mm.
Right? Shanked as a chomo? Maybe. Right?
Yeah.
I think that this is going to go away one way or another. And I think that Laura Preska is the key.
Do you think Maxwell and Epstein had a handler relationship or a lover? relationship, or were they like each other's beards in some situations to...
All of the above.
Okay.
You're everything to me, Jeff.
Well, I mean, see that. Gee, if you were a handler, how would you control Jeff Epstein?
By his balls.
Apparently with eggs.
With an egg. Right?
The special
and
egg.
Apparently she was eating egg like Baby Yoda. Oh!
That episode was kind of boring, not gonna lie, except for the egg eating.
Too soon?
No.
Not
at all.
And then I do want to tie it back around to Alcor. I think it was Krista's last question. Do you believe that maybe a group of super elite that are looking for a cure to aging and doing so, they are some kind of energy vampires that need children around to keep them young? Sorry, I had to go there.
But energy.
Because
I know my children, if I could suck the energy that they take from me, I would be amazing every single day.
I don't know. Let's just say that as somebody who's a little stuck in the hard sciences, I don't think that I could speak intelligently to energy vampire, but do they need to prey on young children? Yes.
They're the most malleable. They're malleable. They're easy. They're trainable.
Well, it's more than that. It's because it's horrible and forbidden, and that's what makes them feel like gods. That they can do and get away with.
Or make them feel like the Greek or the Roman.
Whatever images are in there.
That just seems to be a theme that I've seen throughout history. That is just like, what the hell?
Because it's forbidden. Because it's wrong. Because you prove it. Getting away with it proves that you are better than everyone else to you. These are the people that run our lives, right? And we shouldn't forget who and what they are.
Yeah.
Now, energy vampire, well, they're sucking the life out of the whole friggin' planet.
Yeah. In more, in so many ways, it's ridiculous.
But it's interesting that the chase for eternal life is bringing them to, you know, places like Alcor that so many, you know, billionaires are like investing in and participating in. And what was the other one? Humanity Plus. And
Humanity Plus is basically a nonprofit that's there to do a lot of work for Alcor.
Uh-huh.
Right.
But it is so interesting that this quest for eternal life in the face of just being terrible fucking people, you can get away with anything on earth except for dying. Like you can't get out of that. And I think it's just fascinating, this obsession with grasping at bullshit science to escape, you know, just the one thing that makes them human compared to the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. But you look at the people that are like, you don't see Ghislaine Maxwell actually being an Alcor client, just Jeff Epstein. All the people that I know of that are Alcor clients are first generation rich people.
Oh, interesting.
Right.
So not the long legacies, not the family.
They have no legacy to preserve aside from themselves. These are people that are not invested in their own family, in their own legacy. These are people, they want to take it with them because there ain't nothing left behind them, but when they die, but junk bonds.
Right, because there's no, you know, legacy is immortality. Leaving the line and the legacy behind is a way of living on.
Well,
on
also,
and
also look at where these people made their money. Software, okay? Software has an expiration date. These are not people that are invested in primary production. These are not magnates of agriculture. This is not Andrew Carnegie. They don't make steel. Alcor clients don't make steel. All of their money comes from products that are intangibles.
And they'll become obsolete.
It's the culture you're dealing with here. That is its own organism.
Yes.
And then look at Max Moore and Natasha Vitamore at the center of this Humanity Plus Alcor Nexus. They're just there to be boosters. They're their own people. They didn't come from anywhere. They just And what are they, and what are they movement that they're trying to push it through? A countercultural movement called transhumanism, where people who want to transcend being human rings a lot. Even in ancient Rome, when the general came back and had the triumph, there was somebody on the chariot right behind him whispering in his ear, "You are just a man. You are just a man. You are just a man." They don't want to hear that. They don't, you know, they want to Nietzsche their way to frickin' eternity.
That's the basic
bottom
line. And so it's not an elite cabal that's like all joined together and everybody on the same page. I suspect no one's on the same page.
However,
there's groups that have connections, yes, but it's not a deep, you know, history thing going back 1,000 years.
These are some seriously damaged human beings. I wouldn't care to write about weird-ass Alcor at all, except that it touched Ghislaine Maxwell and Peter Thiel. You know, and because of, I care about what are these people's effects on society.
What would you say that that is?
They make it so that if there was somebody somewhere in the government that actually wanted to say anything about the covert operations that keep an insanely unjust system in power, if anybody actually wanted to talk honestly about war crimes, best have been a good boy the whole time. Don't be in the wrong room with the wrong people. So all they have to do is seed that room with enough wrong people. And a couple of new rich millionaires and loose association of millionaires and billionaires and baby, you know, get a couple of those guys in the mix and boom. Now you've got a party that nobody should have been at. And there's a CIA asset in the room, making sure that you have a nice, good, long drink out of the punch bowl. What's the punch bowl spiked with? Everything.
Do not drink out of the punch bowl.
Right. So essentially, all of this is just like an elaborate scheme. One, because they're rich, bored, and trying to figure out how to live forever and want the forbidden fruit. And two, to blackmail people to get the things that they want so that they continue to be weirdos.
There are some people that are not weirdos, but they're still sick power. There are people out there that are, I'm sorry, but they should not be allowed to make decisions for other people's lives.
There's
especially not at that level.
Yeah.
However, you have control over anything that you can get on anybody, and you can have a nice little Game of Thrones kind of afternoon if anybody gets out of line.
Yeah. I could
notice when the Snowden revelations happened, right? Two things happened real quick. One, Jeff Bezos bought the Washington Post and they stopped carrying it. And we can talk about the CIA's role in that. And the Senator Wyden's brother goes hiking somewhere in the Rockies and dies. Oops. Number two Democrat on the intelligence committee. His brother goes for a hike in the Rockies and goes missing and is dead. You know, within 2 weeks of you knowing the name Edward Snowden.
Yeah.
Think somebody got something explained to them real good? That's what happens when you don't fuck the little kids.
I suppose. It's like an ultimatum, I guess.
I mean, Becca might have heard me say this before, but I'm going to key you into a little thing that I'm very fond of saying. There is no such thing as coincidence.
Oh, no.
Because if bad things keep happening and you're going to call it coincidence, then obviously God hates you. So either God hates you or somebody's up to some shit. Take your pick.
Yeah. I always say someone's up to some shit.
Right.
I don't know if that's a word, but if it's not, I made it a word.
It's a great word. If it's not a word, I'm keeping it and I'm using it for Scrabble.
Right?
Yeah. I do a Nefertiti while dressed as a ballerina. Is my outfit a Nefertutu?
Yes.
There is one of the problems with covering Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell is there is no neat summary and there is not a story. There's a series of events and you look at it and you can see the way that it's working because you know, I mean, I've already looked at the intelligence community for years, right? You know how this stuff works, right? And it doesn't make for a good book because there's no linear narrative, and that's a problem. And so, like, when I'm talking to people about it, I get a smattering of questions, not a criticism, but they all don't get to it. They all get around it because it's not a story. It's a series of snapshots of the way things are because Jeff Epstein fucked up so colossally bad that he got caught, right? And they were stuck with him, right? They had to keep him in play for the last, what, 15 years? Were they going to get more compromising information out of that? Not as much, if any. I wouldn't go past that guy's house after he got convicted. Then again, I wouldn't go past that guy's house except with a flamethrower.
The slow roll. Slowly by with the flamethrower.
Remember, at the bottom of half of my stories are primary documents, source material. Read the source material. Go find your own stories in there. There's enough. There's 94 pages of Jeff Epstein's phone book. 94 pages of names.
Oh my God, can we just do an episode where we prank call people in Jeff Epstein's phone book?
Some of the numbers deleted and the numbers are a little old. I doubt you'll get them, but.
Hey, somebody's going to answer them. They recycle numbers.
We don't give a shit. They're all landlines. I'm sure a bunch of them are landlines from like the 80s and 90s and shit.
My mom was able to get her landline transmission to a cell phone.
People do that. The existence of Jeff Epstein's phone book and the flight logs, which are useless, are the story. Everybody knows everything about Edward Snowden's motivations and history and that and this and the other thing and whether or not his girlfriend was a good stripper or whatever. And they talk about whether or not he's a Russian spy or this or that or the other thing. Nobody engages with the actual material.
It's just like everything's like written off as a conspiracy until like it's obviously true, like the data transfer project or any of the landmark aviation. It's when you break the story first, you really risk being
ignored
totally, because, you know, the best way to suppress or censor is to ignore. The second best way is to be like, oh, it's a debunked conspiracy, even though like it's not a debunked conspiracy. And then a while later, once everyone's been desensitized to it, it's like, oh yeah, that's been true for years. And it's like,
or you just normalize it through other channels. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, just like people are like, don't you worry that the CIA is going to come kill you? No, nope, not in the least. Not worried at all. What?
Not on a regular basis.
Yeah. No, not going to happen.
Tell us why, Jerry.
Then somebody might read my shit if I wound up with a bad case of windshield poisoning.
13th floor, baby. Jerry Bello, thank you so much for talking with us.
If you like what you hear, leave us a review. Share it with your friends.
Go find us on Patreon under Crime Juicy Gang, where you can subscribe and get way more content, awesome interviews with awesome people, and a little bit more behind the juice so you can see how we get this process done for all of you.
Also, see us on Instagram and Facebook at Crime Juicy. Bring your juice.